Right now it is time for us to be joined by Cynthia Hauswender and Janet Manco. It is time for us to take a look at the stories in the Lakeville Journal. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we got another hot day here today, but I want to I was talking with Brian Ross about it this morning. Your story, the Sharon Library, their capital campaign, they've raised $2.7 million out of $3 million very quietly, and now they're off to raise the rest of the money publicly. I just find that a stellar achievement and proof that the Hotchkiss Library is just an important part of the fabric of Sharon.
Well, also that it's being very well run right now, as it has been, of course, but this is a moment when there had been a lot of opposition, as there often is, to the restoration, renovation, expansion, and this board has very quietly done a good job of going around and getting community support for the plan, and they're moving forward with the work on a beautiful historic library that really needs to have more accessibility in many ways and more room for its collections. And I would say if there's $300,000 that needs to be raised, it's easy to just say, oh, good, well, they can figure out how to do that. But I think maybe this is the moment when we all need to kind of kick in, and it's the little donations that make it really a community project. So I'm sure that people will be getting fundraising queries, and I hope they respond positively.
Well, that's a good point that I've tried to make. Now, and speaking as a nonprofit here, believe it or not, you can get if you get 1,000 donations, and they're all anywhere between $5 and $50, it's amazing the amount of money you can raise. And every dollar that you want to donate towards the Hotchkiss Library, it will add up to that $300,000. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's just, if you're a resident of Sharon, and what, there's 2,600 people that live in Sharon, if everybody decided to dig into their pocket and give $10 to $30, they'd have no problem raising it right away. And it's an important, the Hotchkiss Library is every bit as important as the Sharon Hospital and the Sharon Playhouse in town.
Well, and especially if you have kids, or if you're a retired person and you have time on your hands, think about how expensive it is to buy books. I remember when I was a kid, and books are pretty inexpensive. You can get a paperback for $1.25. But really, if you're buying a book now, you're dropping $20 or $30. So they always do a good job of getting, you know, books that you want to read that are new. And so think about how much over the course of the next, say, 10 years of your life, you might be spending on books at the bookstore. And, of course, we always want to support Oblong. But also it's nice to have that opportunity to get a free book.
All right, so that's that story. Now, this is the damnedest robbery story that I've seen in a long time, not only here, but I've lived in other cities and stuff. The longest-running slow-motion solving of a crime that I've ever seen.
Yeah, although, I'm going to go back to 1997. We did a story after the first robbery in Sharon happened, when somebody walked out of the bank at the Sharon Plaza, and it took him 2 years to find the guy. He had been robbing banks all over the East, and he was in jail in Indiana. They had to extradite him. So it does seem like, I mean, they've caught one person. And so my impression was they don't really say how much money is taken. I don't think that they want people to know how much money is at a bank and is available. But we know that there was a successful robbery in Sharon and then a second attempt at a robbery in Cornwall Bridge at National Iron Bank. And they caught one person who was involved in the theft. We don't know. Presumably there's some interrogation going on. And apparently there is, based on the footage, the security footage at the National Iron Bank, they think that the man from the first robbery is involved in the second robbery. So we'll see. And I bet we hear something pretty soon from them.
It's just it's almost like you're watching something in slow motion, though. It's pretty interesting. All right, we'll go down to a couple of other stories that are related to COVID-19. Oh, first of all, by the way, today at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, they are giving vaccination shots. So if you want to go, you can go. You don't have to have an insurance card. You don't have to have insurance. So please head over there. You've got a couple of stories. So first of all, the COVID-19 uptick and concerns about the chiller unit at Sharon Hospital were part of that presentation that the hospital made.
Right, and apparently not, Deb Alexinus was the one who covered this for us. Not a very long update, but, you know, definitely Dr. Herko, who cares a lot, I have to say, and is very worried about the uptick. And we're not seeing the kind of concern that we saw in the first wave when people really didn't know, like, what the numbers were going to be locally. We do know that the Delta variant is more contagious. We believe that it's not quite as dangerous, but, you know, a little dangerous is still dangerous. So very concerned about that. But we've been getting a lot of questions from the community about this chiller unit. And, of course, you don't want people in the hospital to not have, you know, fresh, cool air if they're struggling. But the cooler unit is outside the hospital while they wait for a replacement unit, and it's been bothering a lot of the neighbors. And, of course, we all feel for them, too.
And they are working on that as we go. And so now the new vaccination mandates and other thing with nursing homes and hospitals, and we'll have to see how a nice letter that was sent out by Lisa Carter yesterday, not only how the nurses, the nursing homes, the hospitals, and the schools are going to respond, because right now I think you can say it's a little chaotic.
It's a little chaotic, and in fact, we don't have a story in this week because Lisa is just sending this information out after. And they had been planning to meet, you know, I think every day last week. Patrick kept texting me and saying, well, they've delayed the conversation about the schools reopening. So we will have that story next week. I believe he's speaking to Lisa in depth this morning. But the story here on the vaccination mandate disguises another story, which is, or doesn't disguise it, but there's another story beneath that story, which is that there has been a rise again in cases at our nursing homes, and that seems to be sort of the bellwether where we look to see how the cases are affecting the community at large. And, of course, Governor Lamont continues to send out a daily update on COVID statistics in the state, and that's always a very interesting chart. I'm happy to say I haven't looked at it in months, but we will have to start looking at that again. But you can find that at ct.gov.
Yeah, we took our COVID-19 updates from every day down to once a week, and if it gets if the percentage once again tested gets above 4 or 5%, we will start putting them in up every day. But the good news is that the people that are getting it and having the most serious problems, unfortunately, are unvaccinated people. But the results coming in out of the hospitals, especially here in our local area, are not nearly as dreadful as they were before.
Not quite yet.
All right, taking a look, I'll go inside. It's not a bear, but it's a great wildlife shot. The hawk that was sitting on the green in Sharon.
There must have been food left over from the craft fair, or somebody was driving by and she said, oh yeah, I've seen him hanging around. So whatever was the most relaxed hawk that you could imagine, and I was taking pictures in my car, and then it didn't seem to be bothered, so I got out and walked around it, and other people came out, and it became kind of a little circus on the green, and then he finally flew off, but was very relaxed about it. So I guess looking for food left over from the craft fair. And we do have coverage on the craft fair on the next page, but also I just want to point out Scott Small, very important talk coming up on August 17th on Alzheimer's, hosted by Noble Horizons. Caroline Birchfield really hunted down Scott Small, who lives in Millerton and is one of the world's leading researchers on Alzheimer's disease. And this is a disease that's going to impact, unfortunately, pretty much all of us or somebody we love, probably, you know, in the next 10 years of our lives as we are all aging out. And he can explain so well the research that they're doing on what exactly it is that's causing this and work that's being done to help mitigate some of the suffering that so many people are feeling because of Alzheimer's disease. So highly recommend it. It's on Zoom, and we have information on how to make a reservation and get the Zoom link, but you can also, of course, go to the Noble Horizons website.
And we'll go to the next page because there's a lot of great stories. I'm so glad that Sharon held the Arts and Crafts Fair this year, even though the vendors were basically cut in half because it's the first time back and it's rough. And a lot of people showed up, and I spoke to a vendor that was a first-time vendor at this fair, okay? And they made, during the day, in between $600 and $800. And so that was a successful restart. In Kent, the sidewalk sale days was a successful restart. Salisbury had a successful sales day thing. It's just nice to, it's, you know, it's their little ipsy-dipsy steps, like dipping your toe in a tub. But we're going in the right direction here locally, and hopefully we can continue to go in that direction.
I guess that's the word, is that we hope that we can continue, but as these events are happening, go out and take advantage of them, because who knows what the coming months have. I'm always Miss Sunshine, but that was great that the craft fair was held, and you spoke to a new person, Lila Hawken, our wonderful reporter who is very conversational, spoke to Dennis Bacheski of Torrington, and he had been coming since 1968 and had sold his first painting at the Sharon Craft Fair and went on to have a career as an artist. So nice reporting from Sadie and Lila, and I'll post some photos from on Instagram from the fair because they both had nice photos. And Sidewalk Sale Days, also, again, very popular. I think the vendors were down in Sharon. There were, I think, half as many as they had at their peak. And actually, Dennis had a really interesting story about how they used to, you probably remember this, when they used to have artists judging at Sharon Playhouse in the parking lot.
Yep, but still, it's great to see everything starting to head right back direction. Lila Hawken, the ways we've invited invasives to thrive.
People who are fairly new to the area are surprised to learn about this. And I would have to say, thanks largely to the work of Tom Zetterstern and Christian Allen, in North Canaan, when you drive around, there's a lot fewer invasives than there were even a couple years ago. But there's still plenty of them. And it's interesting and a little depressing to watch how certain invasives replace other invasives. So invasives are not automatically bad, but non-native invasives are very bad because they come in and they kill the plants that are local animals need to thrive, but then they also create habitats for things we don't want, such as ticks. So a really interesting talk and lots of good information there from Lila.
And talk about going in the right direction. The next story, back in the saddle again at the Millbrook Horse Trials.
Right, and again, a beautiful, beautiful annual event, not held last year. And the horse trials generally in a Summer Olympics year have fewer riders, but that tells you the caliber of the riders who do come to the Millbrook Horse Trials. Again, we have beautiful photos from Lance Christensen. I'll try to get those up on Instagram today. And then a nice opening at the Cornwall Historical Society. They have, you know, people around here love maps. If you really have gone native around here, you love maps because they help you understand the history of where we live. And they have a map now that's 8 feet tall and was drawn in 1896 by somebody who was a town clerk and a surveyor. His granddaughter showed up for the opening, and that show continues at the Cornwall Historical Society. And also in Cornwall, we've got the New England cycling route. And not like we need more cyclists. There are plenty of them. But how great to have now an official cycling route that goes through our area, and that will have signage to help people find their way. Soon it will be equivalent to the Appalachian Trail in some ways, where you have a lot of people coming through, and that, of course, always brings business.
And, of course, this year brought back the Rose Algren Art Show in Cornwall, which was once again nice to see that it's back and doing what it needs to do.
Right. Now, so sorry I missed it. That's a wonderful show, and we'll talk in Compass about the Norfolk book sale coming up.
Okay, let's go to the opinion page right now. Janet, let's keep ourselves, families, and neighbors safe.
Right. You know, we're talking about the events that are happening and sidewalk sales and so many things that we didn't have at all last summer, and people are really coming out to this summer. The goal would be to try to keep that trend going, and one way we know that works is to get a vaccine for COVID-19. And so this is a plea to our readers in our northwest corner towns to take a look at the statistics, understand the science and the medicine behind it, and pick up the percentage rates in their towns, which we have quoted here, and prevent further outbreaks. It's for their own good. It's for their families and friends' good. And, you know, as we go back to September and the kids going back to school, it's really a time when there will be lots of opportunity for spread of any kind of virus. So this is the time to address it and get the vaccine, you know, become fully vaccinated before those kids go back to school.
And once again, a bunch of letters, everything from what's going on, first of all, in Salisbury, then Falls Village, also supportive of the Northeast Community Center, and one on legalized marijuana. Once again, your letters to the editors haven't really calmed down or quieted down in the summertime.
I know, yeah, the heat hasn't stopped our readers and writers, and we're glad about that. These are really interesting letters, you're right, about different topics, and give them a read and think about what's happening in each town. You'll really get a good picture of the controversial issues. And so Dan Kadlec is writing about wanting a fair deal as far as the regulation around the lakes in Salisbury. Coulter Rule is writing about affordable housing in Falls Village. Angelo Prunella in Sharon is writing about critical race theory. Christine Sargent, the executive director over at Northeast Community Center, so much gratitude for the support they've gotten from the communities, and Michael Parmalee, right, on legalized marijuana in Connecticut. But Dick Ollis writes about immigration, and Rich Kesson, very importantly, lots of research goes into his columns, Rich Kesson on COVID and public health and medicine relating to it.
And you also have, once again, Peter Steiner with his editorial cartoon.
That's right, which has to be seen to be appreciated. So do take a look. And we have Turning Back the Pages and looking back at 150 and 25 years.
You know, we turned back the pages last week, and the class of
1971 held its 50th reunion.
Wonderful, yeah. 50 years. None of us ever thought we'd be holding a 50th reunion.
Yeah, that seemed impossible, didn't it, way back in 71.
It wasn't
inevitable. Here you are. It was so nice to see such a big group there.
Yeah, it really was. It was one of the biggest groups that showed up for there was a nice thing Skip Parsons and Mary Palmer put together, remembering the people that passed over the past 10 years. So it was a lot of fun just looking back at that.
There was something magical about that class, I think.
Something anyway.
And about Housatonic Valley Regional High School. I have to say that I meet lots of people who don't like high school, but none of them went to Housie.
No.
None of that lot. You're absolutely right. And that's just that sticks out.
All right. Now, we've saved a little extra time because we have a very full compass.
We have a very full Compass, lots of stuff coming up, art shows, et cetera, but we have a special issue of Compass that we're extra proud of because our interns put it together, and we had two really good interns this summer. One, Annabelle Baum, had repeated from last summer and is in high school. The other, Sadie Lida, who's continuing with us through the summer as a college student. She's at Tufts, and they're both interested in art. And so we decided to prepare our August tabloid Compass, the tabloid being the sort of big standalone issue, around their interest. And had them go off, and there's so many interesting artists around here. And a lot of people, of course, are talking about COVID and how they're settling into a workspace and working remotely. So we had the, let's see, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about a dozen artists in their studios in New York and Connecticut. They did beautiful portraits of them and just sort of talked to them about their work and where they work and how that's going and whether they work with another person in the house. And I think that, as we were doing the headlines, I had to find myself stopping from saying again and again, they're in this tiny little space in a rural area, and they're producing work that's seen all around the world. So a really great issue, and we highly recommend it, and our interns did a fabulous job.
Yeah, it's just psychologically great to open up the Journal and the Millerton News, and see a Compass that covers so much. The more that we report not only on the COVID variants and the COVID news, but the more also we report on people trying to get back to normal, I think that's an important job that we have to balance here at the radio station and probably you at the paper. We don't want to seem too overzealous, but we want people to start to get out and live again.
Right, but do wear a mask. And so we have a preview of the Norfolk Library book sale, which is really one of the only book sales, as far as I know, that's been held this summer. And I'm definitely going. You will see me there, but I won't talk to anybody. I'm just going to look at them. But definitely wear a mask, because you're going to be in close contact. You know, it's in a tent. It's sort of outdoors, but it's still pretty enclosed. And I would hope that people, you know, as Janet said, let's hope that everybody's getting vaccinated before they go off to these public events. We're really enjoying being out. Let's make sure that we continue to do it.
And let's also remember that, I mean, God forbid, it only had a 99% recovery rate, because 99.7% is a lot.
But as Janet, as you look at it, I know we here at the radio station have an optimistic feeling, and it must be the same way at both the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News as well.
Right. You know, we have covered this from March of 2020 on, and as you mentioned, it really is not quite the same as it was in the beginning and the throes of the COVID-19 pandemic. So, yeah, if there can be a higher vaccination rate. We know what the answers are to keep it at bay. Now is the time to continue, and I do believe that enough people will do that so we can have a relatively normal life. And it was fascinating seeing what the artists who are covered in Compass did during that COVID shutdown, and were so productive. So, you know, they were exploring and celebrating life at a time when it was very hard to do that, but they figured it out. So we should be able to do it now.
All right.
And if you love Peter Steiner, our editorial cartoonist, you can finally meet him in that special issue.
All right. And so, folks, once again, the importance of local news. You're not going to miss it till it's gone. And support all the avenues you can for local news, and that is Lakeville Journal, Millerton News, TriCornerNews.com. And, there, you know, Cynthia and Jen are nice enough every Thursday morning to get up and touch on some of the stories that we're following there. Keep up the good work, guys.
We love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, the stories that we talk about highlight the stories. There's other stories, of course, in both those papers. And you can pick those papers up throughout the tri-state region, and also tricornernews.com. You can see some of the highlighted stories for free, but then you can make a subscription and just get that paper so you can keep on top of what's going on.